RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So, is coexistence with GE crops and non-GE crops in New Zealand possible or impossible in the light of GE rice recently being detected in organic basmati rice shipments in Europe? We thought it would be a good idea to get Claire Bleakley, president of GE Free NZ, back to talk on this. Claire, thanks for coming back to RCR.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Paul.
Okay, what's happened with this basmati rice and shipments in Europe? Has any of that come our way?
We were really concerned when we read that the organic rice had been contaminated with this experimental illegal rice imported from Pakistan. They reckon that the rice that was imported, organic rice that was imported, had actually been contaminated by a Chinese shipment.
Okay. Yeah.
However, it wasn't picked up until it was harvested and sent to Europe as certified organic for the market. And we are highly concerned because we know that we do import organic rice. And so we wrote to MPI and there's been a resounding silence. And our concerns mostly are, we think that the Ministry for Primary Industries, who looks at contamination events, are under-resourced, underfunded, and do not have the technical tools to detect any contamination. And so I don't think they're taking any contamination as being serious. It is of concern that they have not replied to us, and that's now at least 2 weeks away, maybe 2.5, since we wrote to them. But it's also, there doesn't appear to have been any response from them in looking into the issue.
Okay, so you would expect that to be replied to well inside that time that you just mentioned, would you, normally?
Well, we would think it should be taken very, very seriously because in the past, any contamination event, a while ago, they did a spot monitoring and inspection service and they took all the what they presumed would have genetic engineered, GE's genetic engineered contamination in it. And they looked at soy and they looked at corn and they looked at processed products. And what they found was there was a 12% contamination unlabeled in a tofu product and another soy product they didn't mention. However, in Real Foods did actually label their thing as GMO-free, and they found a detectable, it was almost just over detectable limit of contamination. And they sued Real Foods for up to $4,000 for mislabeling. But they then told the people who had the contamination to remove the product and relabel it. So we've actually got the food safety people from the Ministry now of Primary Industries. They act differently with the GE issue, whether it's a contamination event in a GE product, in a non-GE product, but if you label it as organic, then you can get sued. And we believe that they should be monitoring very, very carefully at the border any contamination to do with any product that comes in.
Not just organic.
Not just organic.
Product.
Absolutely.
Because they could end up discriminating heavily against that one category of product, couldn't it?
They do. And the thing is at the moment, there's the fact is this is actually, it's the rice is a GE370 experimental rice. So it's not even been approved through any of the safety authorities. So we don't even know if it's safe to eat. So this is actually even more important for consumers because it may be actually a rice that has some unfortunate health effects if eaten because it's still experimental.
So do we know how that contamination happened? Is it two lots growing near each other or is it some warehouse? contamination? How does it work, Claire?
Well,
do we know?
We don't know. And this then leads to a bigger concern for GeeFree New Zealand, and that is that the New Zealand government is about to lift and exempt certain GE products. There is no history of safe use. And the other thing too is if there are contamination events from experimental lines or unproven lines, how are we as the consumer in Aotearoa going to be able to trace any effect from that, because there are no diagnostic tools for our health professionals? And we do know, I was on an international call about a week ago, and Argentina has basically said, the regenerative farmer who was talking was saying, we are unable to ensure that our organic grains that we grow that have genetically modified counterparts are now not contaminated.
Right.
So when the government says, oh, yes, coexistence is possible. Coexistence is possible if you don't grow the foods that are genetically modified. And if you have an organic standard, there is a zero tolerance for GMOs. And if you do get contaminated, what they are saying internationally, and this is what Judith Collins is signaling, organics should drop their resistance and allow GMOs in, rather than looking at the liability of contamination of organic systems. So our overseas markets, as well as our national markets, are going to undermine our organic principles.
There's really no evidence as such at industry level anyway that any of this modification actually works when compared to the conventional way of selective breeding and that sort of thing. So take out gene editing and all the other techniques, and really you wouldn't see much difference, would you? There's no slam dunk winner that anyone can point to on the modified side. Is that right?
I'd like to just clarify that point. There is no advantage to the farmer or the consumer from GMOs.
Mm.
Their yields are lower on average. We have far, as we see, New Zealand is not genetically engineered contaminated. We don't have it in our environment. And we are leading the market in advances of beautiful precision, on selective breeding and having really high-end cultivars that are non-GMO. However, what we do know is the advantages to industry and to the pesticide manufacturers, because they own the patents, and most of the genetically modified, in fact, all the genetically modified crops that are on the market that the Food Standards Australia New Zealand Safety Authority has looked at are resistant to pesticides. And so these pesticides can be grown on the crops these crops will withstand the pesticide sprays for up to 3 or 4 times per season. Up until now, none of our produce has actually, once it's growing, has got herbicides sprayed on it. So the herbicides do tend to absorb into the starch structure. Mm. So our corn ears are full of this pesticide, and we can't wash them off as consumers. And it is known that some of the corns create an insecticide. They have insecticide resistance inside them. The toxin is expressed inside them. You can't wash it off, and it does affect the soil, our microbiota, our tummies, digestive systems. And so even though they say it shouldn't, the bacteria in our stomachs are very directly impacted. And that will then cause incredible deficiencies to our health and to our stock health as well.
So follow the money. It's always the way. Yep.
I think that's a catchphrase for yours, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I can't help it. It always seems to come up. Now, there are places pushing back. I'm aware of India and Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Farmers there perceive safety concerns and access to seeds as significant issues. So it is happening in places, but not here. Or is it happening here?
We have had an amazing response from our farmers and consumers. I think we spoke to you about a slightly different topic, but the food standards, Australia, New Zealand, and they're loosening the laws on genetic modification and redefining it. What we'd like to say is thank you so much for the work you are doing in helping us to get the word out, because the response from New Zealand was amazing. The authorities, Food Standards Australia and New Zealand, are not willing to release, or they haven't put it on their website, the amount of submissions. But we asked people maybe to CC us in, and I got over 120 people who actually did reply, and I'm quite sure that I'd like to thank everybody who was listening and responded, because it was an amazing response. And we know that in Australia there was a similar response. So we believe that if food standards tends to not consider us as consumers, we have to write to our ministers and explain to them that this is not what we want. We want labelling and we want a clean food system. But you did say as well, is this not lockstep with the changes that are happening in the GE bill that is coming up in November? And I would like to say this is an international move so that every single leg that we stand on is pulled out from underneath us. And some countries will bow down and do it, and some countries won't. I think we are seeing a massive resistance of big organic farmers, conventional farmers, and consumers who are very much against this. And the other thing too, as you say, we have got really good elite cultivars that are non-GMO and have been beautifully bred by breeders in New Zealand, and they are selling those non-GMO seeds overseas. And it is one of the biggest markets, seed markets, our GMO market, our GMO-free market,
Some people, they get so possessed by what they see as progress that they don't have a reverse gear, you know? That's the problem, no reverse gear. Maybe we can knock it out of the park, like I'm feeling that fluoride could be knocked out of the park.
Yes.
I don't think it's far to go on that. Maybe right after that, or as we're doing that, we can knock this one out of the park as well. We'll see.
Well, I think what we need to be is very aware that we do have a voice in this. And as G-Free New Zealand, we do have a website with detailed information, scientifically peer-reviewed, that for the sake of argument, Dr. Michael Antonio, he looked at some GE corn and it had 117 new proteins and 91 small molecule biochemicals that were changes due to the genetic engineering process. Mm. And our own Professor Jack Heinemann with Dr. Aline Hapers found that gene-edited RNAi-based pesticides. Now, this is what they're doing, is they're, because of the resistance that the weeds and the pests have got to the natural crops, to the GE crops, they are now inserting these RNAi-based molecules into pesticides to kind of deconstruct and deconstruct the resistance to the weeds and pests. So we're now getting pesticides that are are gene edited, and they found that unintended harm to beneficial insects and to humans was a very real thing. And it only came out, the study only came out about 2 months ago. So this is up-to-date information, looking at up-to-date, unproven, untested pesticides.
All right, Claire, good to catch up again. And people can go to gefree.org.nz to find out more. Claire is the president of GE Free NZ. Let's keep our foot on the gas on this one, Claire. You never know.
Look, we would really like to thank you, Paul, for helping us accelerate this wonderful mahi, because we need to keep New Zealand GE free. We have had the most horrific floods down Dunedin your way and winds. GE contamination cannot coexist, and contamination will be inevitable. And we're a small country, and if we want to stay GE-free, we've got to fight for it. And so we'd like to thank everybody who's on board with us, and anybody who would like to come along on the waka with us. With the way flooding is, I think we'll need a lot of wakas. Anyway.
And water wings.
Absolutely. So thank you so much to all your listeners for all the support they've given us. And thank you, Reality Check Radio, for highlighting this really important issue. Stay GE free.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.